Jalen Brown driving.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The game on lock for sure.
Reggie Jackson will hit half court. 2 seconds to go. No one's near him to foul. He puts it in the hands of Batum. The shot comes too late, and the Boston Celtics down Jaylen Brown, down Marcus Smart, down Daniel Tice, and down 16 in the second quarter against one of the hottest teams in the league. Come back to win it. The game of the year for Jason Tatum and the Celtics. They win it by a final of 119 to 115.
We started off slow, but you know, we stuck together throughout the whole game. The energy was great. Communication was great. Our togetherness was just on a whole other level. So we got to understand that we need each other, especially throughout the rest of the season. Our schedule is not getting no easier, so you know, we got to keep it going.
That was Kemba Walker after last night's 119-115 Celtics win over one of the hottest teams in the league going into that game, the L.A. Clippers, on the road. Nice win for the Seas last night. Welcome to the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal, and you, if you'd like to join us again, 617-779-0985. If you wanted to call this the signature win of the year for the Celtics, I wouldn't argue against that. I wouldn't. I think it's one of the better wins of the year, considering you don't have Jaylen Brown for this game. Daniel Tice leaves the game with a knee issue. And, you know, you had some guys out there that are usually maligned. Your Carson Edwards, who I think, you know, kept the Celtics alive.
He was very good.
Yeah.
Maybe the best game of his career, considering the circumstances.
Very good in the first half. Kemba Walker, who I think had some... I don't think it was so much a physical thing that's been going on with him in his shooting woes lately, Chris. I just think it's been... I mean, he talked about it recently, like it's a crisis of confidence. And he looked more like regular Kemba Walker in the second half of that game. So that was nice to see. Tristan Thompson, nice night for him. And obviously, Jason Tatum as well. But a good win for them last night. And I said this, people thought I was just like being a dick on Twitter late last night. And I really mean this. I think one of the sneaky big plays last night, and it was inadvertent, was Semi Ojeleye doing the old Mo thumb in the eye to Kawhi Leonard, because Kawhi Leonard has to sit for a moment where, you know, he's like, you know, blind in one eye. You see them putting the water in there or whatever it is, the solution to try to, you know, get his eye right. But, you know, with the ball in his hands, the last couple of possessions for the Clippers, with the game still in hand, with the game still in play, rather, and in the balance, he missed shots that Kawhi Leonard usually nails. And I think that that made a difference. Again, it was inadvertent. It wasn't on purpose doing the old, like right in the thumb in the eye.
Yeah, Shemmy didn't mean to do it.
But it helped.
It may have. Honestly, though, you know, I looked down the stretch. Maybe it did. I like your theory. However, I will say, just watching that game, I noticed down the stretch, both Tatum and Kawhi Leonard. Tatum played 40 minutes. Kawhi played 37. Hands on shorts. Bent over. I honestly think Kawhi just ran out of gas because those shots were flat. Those shots were short. I think he just ran out of gas. I think it was more that than Shemmy, you know, poking him in the eye. I thought the biggest play of the game was when there was the bad pass by Tatum with the Clippers up one with about 39 seconds to go. And it looked like Kawhi's going to go the other way. He's at least going to get fouled or something. And the Clippers are going to have the ball. But Tatum found a way to pry it loose. And then Kemba obviously ends up hitting the step back. That steal was huge because I think that if the Clippers get that ball and it's either Kawhi going to the foul line or, you know, it's the Clippers have the ball and now they're going to just sort of run something, I think the Celtics lose that game without that steal by Tatum. And I thought his performance was a real tour de force. But the most encouraging thing, to your point, of this game and probably of this trip as a whole, to be honest, Jim, has been the performance of the much maligned bench. You've had guys like Grant Williams step up and play pretty well the last couple of games, and you're getting something out of Robert Williams, and you're getting something out of Carson Edwards. Do I think this changes anything in terms of what the team ultimately needs? I don't, but I think that maybe it's not as bad as we thought, and you can buy some more time before the trade deadline before you can add a real viable piece here, or if Romeo Langford comes back and turns out to be that piece. Or maybe some of these guys just create some fake trade value that Danny Ainge can leverage into fleecing another team.
Is it foolish to look at Carson Edwards' night last night and say, well, he's better than Jeff Teague. He should be getting more minutes. And
oh, that's a tough one. Teague is really, I don't know what's going on with him. I really don't. I mean, in a vacuum, do I feel like Jeff Teague is still a better option than Carson Edwards? I do. But given the way Teague's been playing, he just seems to be having a complete crisis of confidence. You know, late in that game, there was a wide open corner three for Teague. He hesitated a little shooting it. The entire Celtics bench rose up with their hands in the air like, this is going to be good. And it was a brick. And it just felt like, you know, Teague just feels like he's trying to will the ball into the basket at this point. I don't know what's going on with him. He was great in the preseason. He got off to a good start. Brad Stevens has always liked him. I don't know what's up, but they need him. You know, at the end of the year, let me put it like this. At the end of the year, for the Celtics to go where they want to go, if Carson Edwards is a better option than Jeff Teague, then they're not getting there.
I mean, we can focus a lot on last night's game, but there's been now four games since we last did that did this show, starting with, well, the game last Saturday at home against the Lakers, which was extremely entertaining. They obviously lose by 1 point. It's a little bit sloppy there at the end. They start this West Coast road trip with a win over the Warriors on Tuesday. I thought a gross loss to the Kings on Wednesday night. Just your overall thoughts on some of these games and where the team's at right now.
They're scrappy. They're playing well. I feel like they obviously could have won that Sacramento game. They got a good look at the end there. Sacramento, I'm going to play the role of Jim Murray here. I think Sacramento is better than people think. I know there's a lot of Celtics fans, you know, that I've been sort of debating with on Twitter who feel like they should just hand over Harrison Barnes for a song because they're not a championship contender. And that's true, they're not. But with the play-in existing again this year, a team like the Kings, is they're firmly in the conversation for the play-in and therefore for making the playoffs. So I don't look at that as a bad loss, maybe a disappointing one, but certainly not a bad loss in my mind. And a really good win last night, I think, given the circumstances. You know, Daniel Theis, to me, has been a really good player for them this year. To lose him so early, to not have Jaylen Brown, I think the most encouraging thing for me out of the win, not just the bench guys, that is encouraging, but to see Kemba Walker sort of get his groove back and for him to hit the go-ahead basket and see Kemba smiling. I think this has been a pretty good trip so far for the Celtics.
On Kemba Walker, let's talk to Dean in Shrewsbury, your first up here on the Sports Hub Celtics show this afternoon. Hey, Dean.
Hey, quick, before I get to my take, you know how Mavs has that charity event where you can golf with him?
Yes.
So I'm not into golf or baseball, but if you guys were offering shooting hoops with you, even though I have limited funds, that's definitely something I would bid on.
That's cool. I appreciate that.
All right. I mean, I'm available. You don't have to, like, pay or anything like that. I got the time, Dean.
So I think Kemba is going to be playing at an all-star level from here on out. He has his burst. His shots, if they're missing, tend to be missing long. So he definitely has lift. The athleticism is there. The knee doesn't seem to be bothering him. I just think he needs to get the rust off his shot.
Yeah, Dean, and thanks for the call.
Dean, I think you're completely right.
I don't think this is about the knee, why he's had some issues since he's come back. I really don't. Like, you can see, you know, but he's still moving pretty well, and the pop is there, and, like, it's nothing like that. He talked about it, and I believe him. Sometimes I think it's, you know, you're getting, like, sports fibs, sports lies from some players or any GMs that ever talk about what's going on with their team or someone suffering an issue, whatever it happens to be. But I believe it was, like, a crisis of confidence, and there was some rust there, and it's coming off. And I tend to agree with, I don't know if you happen to watch, Paul Pierce was talking at the end of the game, and he was asked, like, who's the most important player on this team and for them to be successful this year? And he said, it's Kemba Walker. Like, with Tatum and Brown, you know what you're getting.
It's a great point.
Brown's
Paul.
Made this leap. It's Walker that's kind of this wild card because you don't know where you're going to get from him night in, night out, you know?
Yeah, and also because he can't play the back-to-backs. I mean,
right.
That's still a little disconcerting for me. I think it sort of hurts the team, obviously. I think it hurts him in terms of getting a rhythm. Because the team needs to sort of relearn how to play with Kemba, how to incorporate Kemba, how to cater to Kemba. Imagine that, catering to a guy who's a four-time All-Star instead of a guy who's a zero-time All-Star. Imagine that.
I know you want to get to that. You know, you're referring to Marcus Smart and the push to have him be an All-Star. It's frankly embarrassing, guys. Like, that's on behalf of the team. Like, we've talked about this now for a few weeks, and this is on behalf of the Celtics' social media accounts where, okay, like, Jason Tatum, that's a given. Like, you want to vote for him to be in the All-Star game? Obviously. Jason Tatum is, I think, playing himself into being one of the top 10, top 15 players in the league. And it was a great night for him. And, boy, he always just goes off in the Staples Center.
On the Clippers. You're right, Staples Center, Clippers or Lakers, but also just on the Clippers in general.
All right, so that's a given. And Jaylen Brown, I think, is hands down the most improved player in the league this year. Like, he's also playing himself into being a legitimate star. Yes, you get my click. Click, click, vote. Yep, yep. But Marcus Smart, like, guys, what are you doing? You're embarrassing yourselves. And you're also feeding the fire of Marcus Smart, thinking he's a better offensive player than he really is. And the pushback, Chris, I also think, from fans, like, some of these ardent green teamers, like, you don't get it. Like, he makes winning plays. He also cost you games, too. And it's better if he's out there right now. Like, I like him as a player. It'd be better if he wasn't hurt and wasn't dealing with a calf issue. But is he an all-star? No, he's just a role player, guys. That's it. Nothing more. The push to have him be an all-star, again, I just find it frankly embarrassing, Chris.
I do as well. And I think it speaks to a larger issue that you sort of touched on, the need of the Celtics to cater to him, to enable him publicly. And I feel like it connects to, now maybe it's just a marketing thing and they're just throwing it out there. But to me, it does connect to Danny Ainge coming on the station and referencing Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Kemba Walker, and then throwing Marcus in. It does, to me, correlate to when Tristan Thompson has his introductory news conference and says, well, I came here because I thought there was a really intriguing young core of players. And he talks about JT, JB, Kemba, and then makes, she's like, oh, and Marcus. Like, it's like an organizational memo that you have to sort of include him. And the analogy I've used is Dennis Johnson, who was an actual five-time All-Star, four times before he even got to the Celtics. Do you think Dennis Johnson went around and was like, what's this big three crap? It's the big four. It's the big four. What's this big three garbage? Do you think he did that?
No.
Did Casey Jones have to, and Jan Vogt and Red Auerbach, did they have to cater to him like that?
Of course not.
They did not.
No.
But to me, this speaks to a larger issue even beyond Smart. And that is the idea of these sort of insufferable, incessant, constant overrating of players by Celtics fans. And I think they've become, honestly, the worst fan base in town to deal with. And I grew up a Celtics fan. If I'm being honest, I still am a Celtics fan. I'm incredibly emotionally invested in this team this season. But I remember growing up, I don't remember like people being like, you know what? You know who doesn't get enough respect put on their name? Rick Fox. Rick Fox is a great player. Yeah. You know who's one of the top five point guards in the league? Sherm Douglas. You know who doesn't get enough respect? D. Brown. Greg Miner's going to be the balls. I don't remember any of this happening. And where I remember, you know who started this? I think this started with the Al Jefferson Rondo Celtics. I still was working at the Globe. I remember it like it was yesterday. There was a poll on Boston.com. Would you trade Al Jefferson for Kevin Garnett? And the majority opinion was no. And I also think this extends to Rondo and the idea that Rondo was somehow a top 10 player in the league and that he was one of the best point guards. Rondo was great when he was on this team. He was a great fourth option. But that was what he was. Fourth option, borderline all-star. People talked about him. I remember I wrote a column that said they should trade him for Steph Curry. And this was before Steph Curry became Steph Curry. It was when he was having the ankle problems. Mm-hmm. And I got like blood to death. So I go back to like 06, 07, the Al Jefferson, Rajon Rondo. This is when this started. And it still goes because, you know what's funny? I never hear, like, do you ever hear anything now from Boston basketball fans about Jay Crowder now that he's on?
Oh, of course not. Like, no.
I haven't heard anything about how great Jay Crowder is, how great that contract is. What about Avery Bradley? Did you hear any, like, when he was here, he was like the greatest. Do you ever hear anything about Avery Bradley?
Nope.
So it's just so funny to me, if Marcus Smart were in another uniform, like I'll use Miles Turner, my guy, as an example. If Miles Turner were in a Celtics uniform, I'd be hearing about how he's Bill Russell as a shot blocker, or at least Greg Steemsma, because apparently they're the same, Russell and Steemsma.
Yeah, you guys just don't see what they really do.
Yeah, no, I'd be hearing about how great he is. And if Marcus Smart were an Indiana Pacer, I'd be hearing all about how he can't shoot, and whoever is here is better, Carson Edwards. This did not exist when you and I were young. But it is something that has started, I think it started in 05, 06, 06, 07, where we're just going to base players and how good they are on whether they're in a Celtics uniform or not.
So what do you guys think? Does Chris have a point here? Huh? And he's right to blah you people and then snap back at you? Or is he just...
Oh, I'm clapping back big time.
Or is he just an old man yelling at the cloud? You don't get it, Casper. Let's hear from you. Because I think you're right to get on these Marcus Smart people. 617-779-0985. Even 20 years ago. You guys don't see what Tony Battee does.
Like, yeah, exactly. You don't understand how integral Milt Palacio is to the team. Like, I never heard any of this stuff. None of this stuff existed. And then it was right around the Rondo debate. The debate that Rondo was better than Russell Westbrook or Chris Paul. How absurd that was. Because here's the thing about Rondo. Rondo was a very unique player. I mean, I don't think there's ever been anybody like him in NBA history. And I think a lot of fans made the mistake. They mistook being unique for being elite. He was always unique, and he remains unique. But was he, like, elite? Was he, like, a top 10, top 15, top 20 player in the league? Was he somebody that could be the face of a franchise, which a lot of people here argued he could be? He was never that guy. Never.
All right, your call is coming up next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Org. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Marcus won't play on this trip for sure. He's here in Boston. We thought 2 or 3 weeks, most likely, it would be his time frame, but that calf injury can be worse than you think on occasion. So I'm concerned about that.
Celtics president of basketball ops, Danny Ainge, making his usual appearance on Touch and Rich earlier this week here on 98.5 The Sports Hub with an update on Marcus Smart. And Chris has just had it with you, Marcus Smart, people. Again, nice player,
He's a great role player.
Not an all-star.
He is a great, emphasis on great, role player. It's just that no one has told him. He thinks when Marcus hears great role player, Jim, he hears great player. He doesn't hear the role. They just have to get the role to penetrate his brain. You are a great role player. But in his mind, he just hears that. He hears, I am a great player.
617-779-0985. Your thoughts on last night's game and what Chris just said about you, Marcus Smart, people. He's had it with you. 617-779-0985. Sully in Charlestown, you're next here on the Sports Hub Celtic Show. Hello.
Jim, Chris, how are you?
Good.
Good. Listen, I got a take on Smart, and then I have a request from you, Jim, so if you can give me a sec.
Sure.
So I agree with Chris as to Marcus Smart, why he should get traded, and here's why. It's just he's the longest tenured Celtic on the team, and I think his mentality is he don't have to defer to Tatum and Brown. And for them to progress as a team and be better, even though he is a good player, I agree, he's a real good role player, it's just not healthy. He don't listen to Stevens, and he's unwilling to defer to Tatum and Brown for them to become the leaders. So in order for this team to progress forward, he got to go. And I'd suggest, you know, packaging him, just a theory, him and the trade exception, maybe to the Cavs for Kevin Love and Drummond or something like that, just to shore up the front court.
And what was the other thing you wanted, Sully?
Well, I'm going to the dispensary now. I wanted to laugh. I think you're hilarious with that voice impression of the gentleman from Tampa, the radio host.
Gene Deckerhoff.
Gene Deckoff, Jim, listen, I know you do ads. Do the Northeast Men's Health ad with that voice, dude. Now I'll be rolling all day. All right. Have a good weekend, guys.
Thanks. You too, man.
Enjoy your trip to the dispensary. Pick up some sticky nugs. Go weed, go. No, they want those reeds, pretty much straight-laced. Otherwise, yeah, no, I would do them in a voice if they were willing to do that. Let's go to more on Marcus Smart from Mike in Plymouth. You're next here on the Sports Hub Celtic Show. Go ahead, Mike.
Jim and Chris, how you doing? Happy Saturday.
Hey, same to you.
So, with Marcus Smart, nowhere close to an all-star. He's not even top 20 in the Eastern Conference. So, nowhere close. And also, Rudy Gobert has won Defensive Player of the Year twice. And you know both those years he was never an all-star?
Yeah, 1 year he cried in his car, didn't he? He cried because he didn't make the all-star team. Poor Rudy.
Yeah. But that's why I'm saying you have to have elite talent, all-around talent. And even Defensive Player of the Year won't be an all-star. Marcus Smart isn't even sniffing close. I would put Pritchard before the injury. I would put Pritchard before Smart.
All right, that may be a little extreme.
No, I'm just joking around. No, none of them deserve it. But you have to be top 2-3 on your team at least. He's not even top anywhere close to that.
I agree. And so the thing for me about it is, look, Max from NBC Sports Boston, you know, tweeted at me. There are a bunch of teams that are putting out all-star candidates that are like laughable, like Svi Mykhailiuk from the Pistons is the worst one I've seen. But I want someone to find another team that has two legitimate candidates in Tatum and Brown, and another guy that's a multiple-time All-Star. Like, anyone who's a multiple-time All-Star, no matter what kind of season they're having, the team's probably going to be like, hey, vote for this guy for the All-Star team, which is why Al Horford is getting it from the Oklahoma City Thunder. But find me another team that has two legitimate All-Stars, another guy who's a multiple-time All-Star, who's then tweeting out someone that has no business sniffing the All-Star team. Like, I understand why the Knicks put RJ Barrett out there. It's like, who else are they going to put out? Just like, hey, vote for our players, Julius Randle and RJ Barrett. Like, what else are they going to do? Say, don't vote for any of our players?
Well, you were telling me during the commercial break too, because we were talking about this with like some other teams. Like, the Bulls are just doing it for who? Zach LaVine, right? Like, they're not even trying to pump up Lauri Markkanen or anyone like
no,
that.
No, and like, you could make a case for Lauri Markkanen. Now, he's not an All-Star, but you know, if you're the Bulls,
that's the equivalent of the Celtics.
Like, there's no shame. There's no shame in your game, and you're putting him out there because you don't have a lot of candidates. But the Bulls are just pumping their one legitimate candidate, Zach LaVine. And not only that, they're having other players do it. Like, Kobe White's on their Twitter thing, and he's like, you're a bad Bulls fan if you don't vote for Zach. He's not like, hey, you're a bad Bulls fan if you don't vote for me, Kobe White, to go to the All-Star game.
Here's someone we haven't heard from in a while, down in the big ATL, Kenny G. Hello. How are you, friend?
What's going on? Hey, Murray, listen. You know, if Marcus Smart's an All-Star, man, go ahead, please fire the cannons for me. hey, look, this is what I want to say. I'm with you. I've been a Celtic fan all my life, but what I would tell Celtics fans, honestly, be better than that. That is not an All-Star. Matter of fact, Marcus Smart can go if a role player doesn't know his role. He's an All-Star role player, if
yes.
That makes sense. Let's just make up another category.
Sure. Yeah?
Let's be better than that. What I really want to ask you guys is, me personally, if you told me who I could get and if I could keep Brown and Tatum,
yep.
How do you get Vucevic out of Orlando?
Yeah, that's picking up steam. B-Rob, I don't know if you want to jump in on this, but I think I've heard from you and some others that that's a player that Stevens really likes. And I don't know, you know, sort of where Orlando's at. And it feels like Orlando's in a perpetual state of rebuilding. They don't have Jonathan Isaacs. He's out for the year with the knee injury. But would they be willing to move him?
I mean, they're falling apart right now injury-wise down there. So, but their front office has said they want to keep this core together going forward when they get Jonathan Isaac back and a lot of these younger guys. But ultimately, they're going to have to listen if you make them a good enough offer. And, you know, Danny Ainge just said on Toucher and Rich, I think we're looking for guys, you know, size guys that can shoot. And so I don't think there's anyone better in the league than Vucevic than that.
Oh, I like him.
Yeah, I like him too. That would be a home run for Danny.
Yeah, and again,
Danny can blob me if he gets Vucevic over in my Miles Turner love, if he pulls that off.
Obviously a big that Brad Stevens want to deal with too, because he can actually shoot the three.
Yeah, no, he would be good. I mean, that's like a home run for the Celtics if they're able to bring that guy in. I would be very excited. Now, that's one where I do agree with the Celtics fans that talk about Sacramento and say, oh, they're nothing, like they're not a contender. They should blow it up. They should make a deal. I kind of laugh at the notion that Orlando wants to keep, like, what core? Like Aaron Gordon? Like, what core are you talking about?
A good 8-seed core.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Fultz. Like, what core are you trying to keep together?
Did you watch that game in its entirety, the Sacramento game the other night? And then B-Rob, I know you did.
Not its entirety. I watched the whole second half.
Okay. Well, you saw the second half. Did you catch, like, the sell job on Harrison Barnes?
Oh, from Scal?
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't have to sell me. I love Harrison Barnes.
I do too, but it's like, he might as well have been screaming, like, Danny, try to get Harrison Barnes. You know, like, that's the guy you would
No, get. I mean, Harrison Barnes would be number one on my list, even above Vucevic. He's a perfect fit. I mean, again, B-Rob, you know more about the league than I do. I just look at it. I know the ownership there has had a quick trigger finger. The Kings, you know, haven't made the playoffs in a while. The play-in gives them an opportunity to get in. I just feel like if you're Luke Walton and you're the front office there, why would you trade Harrison Barnes, who's your second leading scorer? I would try and unload Buddy Hield's contract, but why am I trading Harrison Barnes?
Exactly. Like, Barnes, he's under contract for two more years. They don't have a payroll crunch there. There's not a logjam. If you want to actually be good, Barnes is the kind of guy. You're not going to get anyone better to replacement free agency, so it would have to be a monster haul, I think, for the Celtics to get Barnes.
I agree.
All right, more with your phone calls coming up here in the Sports Hub Celtics show. I also have some thoughts on the fact that the NBA is going to have the All-Star game in Atlanta in the beginning of March, which I find asinine, and apparently some of the players do too. But more of your calls, and we'll hear more from Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal, who covers the Celtics, coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show. This is Jaylen Brown and home of the Boston Celtics basketball. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Excitement is building for another banner.
Round for three, got it.
The Sports Hub Celtic Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tatum switches to the left hand, drives on Zubac, steps back high, arcing, fall away is good.
God.
Tatum showing every club in the bag tonight. He's got 32, and the Celtics lead by six.
Sick with that
one. I think this is a good win and ass coming off a loss. Down a few guys. You know, I think for my time being here, regardless of who we have playing, you know, we always feel like, you know, we gonna give ourselves a chance to win.
I think you could say Jason Tatum was savage last night in the Celtics win with the Clippers. 119-115 was the win.
He was also classy.
Yep. And bougie. Yes,
and bougie.
Well. 34 points, game high for him last night. He is always playing well in the Staples Center. It's almost like an ode to Kobe, if you will.
It's a great, wow, that's a great take.
I think I'm stealing that from Sean Grandy. Yes, I am. Okay. Something like that. But it does feel like that because he always plays extremely well anytime, whether the Celtics are playing the Clippers or the Lakers. But big night for him. Anything you want to talk about with last night's game, this road trip so far, we'll take your calls. And, of course, Chris getting after you, Marcus Smart, people. And you're right. It did start with Rajon Rondo.
It did.
I was thinking about it for a minute when you were saying it, Chris, that, you know, it's like, no, maybe it's like, you know, weird Celtics Twitter thing. It's a social media thing. And it's like, no. Like, and I know that, you know, Twitter and Facebook and all that existed at the time, but it wasn't then what it is now. It was Rondo.
It was Rondo.
Like, you know, how people called into this station and the other talking about Rondo during that time. And it got to a point. It's like, you people are delusional.
Yeah. I mean, look, the guy was a great fourth option. Third option, and, you know, all-star point guard, but he was never among the elite point guards, and he never had to carry a team, and he was never capable of being the number one or number two option on a championship-level team. But he played an amazing style of basketball that was really fun to watch, and again, not a style you would see from other guys in the league, and Smart's sort of the same way. Now, I think Rondo was a better player than Smart is. I mean, Rondo dropped 44 and in an Eastern Conference playoff game, and he was just a brilliant, brilliant passer. But again, you know, Rondo, to me, is sort of the line of demarcation. If you want to say this is like a battle, Rondo was the assassination of Duke Franz Ferdinand, right? You know, he sort of started the whole thing. And at that point, people got really dug in on defending Celtics players versus other players in the league, and it just sort of cascaded. You know, the mantle has been passed. You know, it sort of goes from like Rondo to like Avery Bradley to Jay Crowder. Remember when people were like, you can't include Jay Crowder in the Kyrie trade. That's the best contract in the league. Oh, what are we going to do without Jay Crowder? I haven't heard two peeps about Jay Crowder since then. And now it's Marcus Smart.
And there is the genius of one Chris Gasper. There's the only man that I know that can use a deep World War II reference.
World War One.
I thought that was World War II.
No, it's World War One.
Oh, well. Silly me. History buff I am. Deep World War One reference, and then intertwine it with an overrated Celtics player. Brian Raab, Boston Sports Journal, bostonsportsjournal.com. I want to go back to something I mentioned or felt like, you know, after watching last night's game. Carson Edwards keeping the Celtics in it in the first half, shooting up to 51% on the season after last night's win for the Celtics. Carson Edwards, greater than Jeff Teague right now. Should he be getting more minutes than Teague?
I think when you just look at the potential upside, you got to go Edwards right now, right? Like, Teague looks like he might not be in the league next year with the way he's playing. Shooting 28% from two-point range. That is not NBA level. So,
but you know how Brad Stevens loves to defer to veterans. Is that going to happen?
I mean, yes. For now, it will. Like, he's going to give Teague some extra rope. That's going to probably be a decision that's going to come down to the front office saying, you know, we're going to move Teague, or when we make a trade, we're going to cut Teague instead of, you know, trading Edwards, something like that. I think it's going to come down to a situation like that, because especially with Peyton Pritchard here, Peyton Pritchard cannot be losing minutes to Jeff Teague right now once he's back.
Give me some other takeaways from last night's game, the road trip so far, and any updates on how Danny might use the trade exception.
I think, how about Tristan Thompson waking up?
Yeah,
like,
that's
a good point. Yeah.
Like,
you could see it in the Golden State game.
Right. Well, that it helped that nobody taller than 6'6 was available for most of the game.
Well,
but,
sure.
But he built his confidence, and he's played well the last couple of games, no question. That's a good sign for them.
That's huge for them, because when you give your full mid-level to that guy, you need that guy to give you something, and he really wasn't doing that in the first month, whether he was getting into shape or the injury, whatever it was. But now in this trip, he's averaging 13-8 per game, and more importantly, he's shooting 75% from the field. So he's actually, like, finishing around the basket, as opposed to, I think he started the season around, like, 45% on that front. So that's really big for them. Other big positive development, Grant Williams from three-point range is up to, I believe, 49% on the year here.
Wow.
And so you look at that with him going 10 of 17 in the postseason last year. And so this might be enough, guys, where we've got to say, I mean, Grant Williams has issues. He's fouling way too much, though. But if he can be a legit stretch big, then that's pretty big for them in the long term.
Yeah, Grant Williams has been a revelation to me on this trip, the way he's knocked down those corner threes with a lot of confidence, and his willingness to take those shots, it's obviously huge. He makes them, but that gives them a little bit more front court depth. And he's a good defender. You can switch with him on different guys. He can give you some of that perimeter defense. He can give you some of the same things Thompson gives you, but he gives you outside shooting. You know, the one thing when I look at Thompson that, and I said this when he was coming to the team, he's at this stage of his career, he's just not a rim protector. Like, that's just not what he does. I think that Brad on this trip has done a nice job of piecing together. Each of their bigs gives them something they need, but none of the guys really has sort of multiple things. You know, like Robert Williams is a rim protector and a great rim runner, but he's not really a threat from the, and he's a great passer, but he's not really a threat from the outside. You know, Tristan Thompson's not really a threat from the outside. He's a very good defender. He can switch on guys, but he's not really a rim protector. Tice is the closest to doing all the things that they need, believe it or not, and I still think Tice is their best big.
And B-Rob, any rumors bubbling on how Danny might use the trade exception?
Well, I'll kind of throw this to you guys right now.
Yeah.
With after hearing Danny Ainge this week, like, normally when you want to make a big move, you want to make that move pretty earlier in the season so you have more time to integrate someone like that. So how do you guys view that versus, you know, maybe some bigger names become available in another, you know, the trade deadline's over a month away. Do you wait for maybe more teams to fall out of it so you can get a bigger name? Or would you rather just get someone in here that can, you know, and so that way you get like 30, 40 games to kind of get them integrated so they're maybe in a better shape for the playoffs here?
I'd personally wait to see if you can get a better player, a bigger name that can help you. We know what the needs are. Yeah, you could use a big, and obviously, you know, I think the team, and given how Brad Stevens runs it, would want a big that can shoot from the outside, like a Nick Vucevic. I would take him tonight if that was able to happen. But while I know what the team's issues are, and they frustrated me here, especially with a bad loss to a team like Sacramento the other night, Chris, and B-Rub, I'm not, like, pounding the table like, they got to do something, they got to do something now. Like, I have no problem waiting.
Yeah, but, I think you, I mean, sorry to cut you off, Chris. I think I'm with you, Jim. You have to swing big here because...
Yeah, I don't need a move just to make a move.
Right. Especially when you're getting stuff like Edwards, you're still trying to boost the value of maybe some trade chips on your roster right now, which I think is a big part of this. So, yeah, like I think you have to wait till the market settles a little bit more, Chris, and maybe you get, you know, you can go for a bigger swing at that point as opposed to maybe a short-term Band-Aid.
Yeah, I agree with you guys on that. I mean, I think I would wait and try and get the best name I could get. And I thought the most interesting thing Danny said was that he saw the trade deadline as the sweet spot for using the TPE. So that was sort of an indication to me that they really plan to use it. They really plan to use it at the trade deadline. And also, if they don't use it at the trade deadline, it feels like Danny's sort of saying, well, you know, it's unlikely we would be able to use it this summer. So I think there is a sense of urgency from the Celtics to use it at the trade deadline. The other thing I would say, and again, this is, I don't know, you know, if any of these guys are available, but I always sort of have this list of younger or youngish players in my mind, guys that I see on other teams. Even a guy like, you know, like a guy like Kevin Knox, who's fallen out of favor in New York with Tom Thibodeau, and he's like a lottery pick. A guy like that wouldn't be in lieu of using the TPE and adding like a proven player. But I think there are ways you can upgrade your roster where you don't necessarily have to give up a lot. I still would like to see the Celtics with some of these cases try and identify some younger players who maybe are not in ideal situations for them that they can bring on their roster and give them more opportunity because they need players off their bench and those guys can grow. You know, somebody like a Josh Hart with the Pelicans, where his minutes are sporadic and who knows what they're going to do. Maybe they're going to move Redick. What's happening here? They want to play Nickeil Alexander-Walker. They want to play Lewis, the point guard from Alabama they drafted. His minutes are sporadic, but he has some real skills that could help the Celtics team. So I think it's not all about getting a name. I would like to see them try and identify some guys that are on rosters that maybe just need a little more opportunity. And if that means giving up a second round pick, or if that means giving up a late first round pick to bring in somebody who's already on an NBA roster, already can play in the NBA, but maybe needs more opportunity, upgrade your team that way too.
Yeah, guys, I know their role, and I really do think they're gonna use this in probably two or three different ways. And they do have a couple other trade exceptions. They have one for Cantor for $5 million, so they could get in a guy like Hart, to your point, Chris, for that too. One other name to throw out to you guys to monitor: Larry Nance Jr.
Oh, I love him.
In Cleveland, he's hitting threes now. And so if you're looking for like a stretch kind of big 3-4 type, I think that's a guy age-wise might line up with this group pretty well.
What's the percentage he's hitting them at? Do you have it in front of you?
I believe he's pretty close to 40% for the year. I don't have it in front of me, but it's he's hitting the corner threes, and there'd be a lot for him if you have him on the floor with Tatum, Brown, and Kemba in crunch time.
He actually started taking the threes, you know, last year. He started picking it up with the threes. So this isn't just like something, you know, last year he shot 35% from three. This year he's shooting 38.7. So this sort of started last year. So it's not a fluke. It's not just something that's happening this year. He's added that to his game.
Jay and Franklin, how do you want to see Danny use the trade exception?
Hey, guys. I agree with Chris's point on Jay Crowder, but I would love Avery Bradley. I just always loved Avery Bradley. I think they should, I agree with Kenny G, they should definitely go for Vucevic. He scored, I think, 43 points and had 19 rebounds last night. And I think he's, the last 10 out of his 12 games, he scored 20-plus points, and he's a double-double machine. Like, he'd be perfect fit for what they need for a big man. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that's a guy I would take tonight.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would too. You know, I mean, there are definitely some options out there for the Celtics. There's an opportunity here, but I think it sort of goes back to, is this one of those things where, you know, Danny's going to be in that mode of he has to absolutely crush the deal? Or when you look at the TPE and the idea that it's an expiring asset, which is interesting in the sense that I feel like traditionally the Celtics have not treated any of their assets like they have an expiration date on them. They're, you know, we'll hold it, we'll hold it, we'll hold it. And some of those have worked against them through no fault of their own. They caught some bad luck in back-to-back years with Sacramento and Memphis. But this is something that has an expiration date on it. And does that mean that he's willing to do a deal that's maybe not as slanted in his favor because otherwise he doesn't use the thing at all?
More of your calls coming up here in the Sports Hub Celtic Show with a segment to go, and we'll do a quick little roundtable with myself, Chris, and B-Rob and ask the question, the NBA is holding the All-Star Game. Why? That's next here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtic Show on 98.5 the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
An hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 the Sports Hub.
You would like to think that the NBA would, you know, make it as safe as possible. They wouldn't do anything to put it in harm's way. I feel like for the most part they've done a great job of trying to keep us safe. You can't control everything, but I do understand the concerns about it, especially in Atlanta.
I have zero energy and zero excitement about an All-Star game this year. I don't even understand why we're having an All-Star game. But it's the agreement that the Players Association and the league came about. We were told that we were not having an All-Star game, so we had a nice little break 5 days from the 5th through the 10th, you know, an opportunity for me to kind of recalibrate for the second half of the season, my teammates as well. Then they throw an all-star game on us like this and just breaks that all the way up. So pretty much it's kind of a slap in the face. And, you know, I'll be there if I'm selected. But I'll be there physically, but not mentally.
Why are they doing this? So that's Jason Tatum after last night's Celtics win over the Clippers, and LeBron James, who obviously has some strong thoughts on the fact that the NBA is holding the All-Star game in a month in Atlanta. The biggest players like Tatum, like LeBron, Giannis, De'Aaron Fox, Sacramento have been pretty outspoken about this. Like the players, these best players have no interest in this thing. And I know that the answer is strictly it's money. Like, why are they holding the All-Star game during a pandemic? Money. It's money. That's why they're doing this thing. But the Players Association also signed off on it, Chris and B-Rob. So I just, it doesn't, this makes no sense to be doing this. And I'm Mr. like, let's be cautious, but you know, can we try to get back to some semblance of normalcy in terms of business? I understand it. You know, I'm pro-capitalism and like, we got to make that money. I get it. But there are the right ways to do things right now during a pandemic. And an all-star game just reeks of like, just the wrong kind of greed to me. And this is coming from, I think, maybe the most progressive and smart league in the way that they've handled things. The bubble obviously worked down in Orlando when they did that. I think that they're the league that is the most pro player. And this just smacks in the face of all of that. Like, this is just like, like, you know, twirling the evil mustache, all the owners, like, we must have the All-Star game. Like, this makes no sense that they're doing this right now.
I agree. I mean, I don't really get it. It makes no sense to me. I don't know why they're doing it. But I'll say this. I'll just say I was surprised by LeBron James' comments about the All-Star game, because I had heard in some NBA circles that there were some very prominent players who actually were pushing for the All-Star game to be played.
And is it strictly because that thing is a hoedown? And I mean that in a... the way that I'm, you know, that I mean it, like, cause year in, year out, like, read about the All-Star game and boy, they come far and wide for that thing. Is this just like a lot of these guys are like, listen, this is the one time a year I get to have nonstop doing. And so we have to have this All-Star game. Like I believe that's part of it, Chris.
It could, honestly Atlanta. Could be. I mean, it honestly could be. I mean, I I'm just a little surprised. I think that there are some very influential players in the league that I had heard were actually in favor of the All-Star game, and the league was not, because the league put out a schedule that said no All-Star game. So they just suddenly changed their mind. Like, what are they doing? Bowing to TNT? Maybe that's what it is. But I have a hard time believing the NBA just came up with this on their own and is unilaterally imposing it. There were some players, high profile ones somewhere, who started saying like, oh, like, why can't we have an All-Star game? And now it's sort of become the popular thing in public to bash the All-Star game. So I don't know. I'm not sure everybody here is being totally honest.
And then the other part of this, too, is so apparently the league has also told players, well, listen, if you're not an All-Star, Marcus Smart, and you want to travel during that stretch, you can go to Puerto Rico or, you know, the U.S. Virgin Islands. You can go to Hawaii if you want. Huh? Like, how about just, like, guys, can you stay in state? Maybe you can go to a couple of local states, but, like, You're asking for guys to get coronavirus and for your league to be shut down or paused by allowing them to do that.
What are your Atlanta sources saying? Like, how open is Atlanta right now? Are any of the establishments open?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Really?
It's Florida-esque down there, from my understanding.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so then why would they hold it? Why wouldn't you just hold it in New York and say, like, okay, we're going to go to a place that's pretty locked down. You know, you guys are going to play the game, Madison Square Garden,
TNT,
Metro,
right?
Basketball.
Yeah, TNT's down there. Like,
Okay.
It leads me to believe what you're, I think, alluding to, Chris, that some of these guys are like, look, there's a lot of girls up in my DMs right now, and we all know how the All-Star game is run and who comes far and wide, and I mean that in a couple of ways. So
you're going to get me in trouble, Jim. I would like to be able to continue to do this show.
I've got doing to do, so we need to have this All-Star game. Like, that's probably really what it is. Like, B-Rob, any your thoughts on this, that they're actually holding this damn thing?
Yeah, to your point, Jim, like the Players Association thing is the most confusing part of this, because they obviously had to sign off here. And so maybe it's simply guys like, okay, if the Stars don't want to play, that's fine. There's a bunch of like mid-tier guys that would happily go down there, right, like take the cash and whatever else they can get out of it. And then, you know, everyone wins because the owners get money. The Players Association gets more money. That's the only thing that really makes sense to me.
And then there's this from Shams Charania of The Athletic, who tweeted about an hour ago. The NBA has also informed all teams and players, coaches and staff, they're not permitted to gather outside of their home for Super Bowl Sunday. Okay, well, that's responsible. At home, individuals are able to watch with a household. That's good. On the road, however, you can host up to four family, close friends, you know, family members, close friends in a hotel with advanced testing. So, Super Bowl Sunday, watch the game at home, members of your household. That's smart. On the road, family, friends can travel to you, gather together in your hotel room to watch the Super Bowl. This will be known as Super Spreader Sunday. Like, I don't know. Like, this is the league, again, that I think has done so many things correctly. They're a pro player, like the most progressive of the big four sports in terms of how the league is run. And this just is like this whole week. It's like, how can we be more like the NFL where it's like, we'll just throw crap at the wall and see what happens? Like, it's just, none of this makes any sense.
Well, I think maybe they're like, how can we be more like the NHL and just shut down multiple teams and have to adjust our schedule? You know what I want to know on this? I want to know, where does Kyrie Irving stand on this? Because remember when Kyrie was here the last year and he was hurt and wasn't playing and he still went to the All-Star game? And poor Brad Stevens, I felt so bad for him, had to come on this radio station
and pretend
that it was like in the best interest of the team for Kyrie not to play any games leading up to the All-Star game and then go to the All-Star game in Charlotte and play, like somehow that was good for the Celtics. I felt so bad for Brad. But I mean, wouldn't you think Kyrie would be one of the guys who would be like, oh, I want to play this? And also to your point about what the All-Star game is essentially Westworld for these guys. I mean, that's
really
what it is.
Yeah. Oh, it's a lot of doing. Johnny in Brooklyn on Marcus Smart. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Jim, the Tom song blew me away, man.
Oh, thank you.
I need more 90s hip-hop and R&B. But the reason I called, you know, you guys were talking about Vucevic. Do you think that what do you think it would take to get him? I'm so out on Marcus Smart. The idea that he's an all-star is outrageous. But would he be involved in that trade? What do you guys think? Thanks a lot. Have a good one, man. Bye.
B-Rob, I'll defer to you on that. What is a realistic deal that you think could get Vucevic here?
You're probably looking at multiple first-round, like two first-round picks and a guy like Smart or something like that.
What about Robert Williams?
Yeah, probably one of your young guys, too. I think you're really going to have to clear out a good deal of your younger depth chart and hope that the Magic like one or two of those guys on top of a couple of draft picks to pull the trigger.
I make that deal. Ian in the truck, you're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics show as we wrap up. Hello.
Hey, guys, I just want to get your opinion on one thing. I think, especially after watching last night and last week, I feel like we should hold out on using the trade exception just because there are some guys on this bench that could maybe form into the roles with the voids that we have in the roster. Maybe it's Langford coming back, Rob Williams going into the starting lineup, Thompson playing himself into shape, or even Edwards taking more ball handling ability and scoring ability off the bench. Just wanted to see what you guys thought of that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think certainly that could happen, but if I'm the Celtics, I'm not going to bet on that. And I think it would be a little easier to make that evaluation and judgment if Romeo Langford were healthy. I have no idea how far away he is. It does not seem like he's close. And so how much time do you really have to evaluate him leading up to the trade deadline, and do you want to take that risk? To me, this team still desperately needs a wing off the bench who can generate his own shots.
All right, we'll wrap with that. We can continue to mix in some of your Celtics calls as we get into the last hour of the Brady Show. I mean, Gasper and Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, you're just going to talk about
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.